It'd be great to get more cross distribution cooperation. And perhaps that's what this talk will address. So without further ado, I'm going to present you Pavel Rusnak.
Is Mike, that's not work here, I think.
It's not working.
No.
There we go.
It's on.
So before I start, I would like to ask you several questions. Who of you is using a non-RPM based distribution? All right. And who uses Fedora? And who uses Mandriva? And what about OpenSUSE? All right. So, great. We have.
And RHEL? And RHEL? Red Hat Enterprise Linux?
Yeah, and RHEL? And SUSE Enterprise? All right.
White yeah. Bar?
So, we have people from all camps. That's great. So, what will our talk be about? So, at first, I will tell you introduction. Then we take a look at some problems that we had, but they are hopefully solved. But that doesn't mean that they are already effective, but we know how to solve them, and we are just waiting to phase them out, because you cannot switch immediately to the new way we do things. Then we take a look on some unsolved problems, and then we will talk about future development. So, introduction. Who uses RPM? So, we have three large open distributions, Fedora, Mandriva, and OpenSUSE. Then we have enterprise versions, so Red Hat and SUSE Linux Enterprise. And then we have lots of forks. For example, CentOS is fork of Red Hat Enterprise. There is a PC Linux OS, Alt Linux, and I don't know how to pronounce that, but it's a black box, magic box in Portuguese. And these three are forks of Mandriva. And then we have Yellow Dog Linux and Turbo Linux and Arc Linux. So these all distributions use RPM. There are probably some more, but these are the most visible. So what's causing problems? One of the problems is macro mess. For example, Mandriva uses these macros in their spec files, and OpenSUSE uses this set. There you can see the dots at the end, so the list is far from complete. It's just to give an idea. Fedora uses only one macro in their spec files, and it's this. They have a policy not to use any macros that are not a part of RPM package itself. So we take a look at solved problems. One of the problem that's been solved is a build root problem. We had we had different handling in install phase and in clean phase. Fedora didn't have the safe build root feature like OpenSUSE did. So in Fedora you had to remove the build root in install phase and also remove it in clean phase and also check whether it's a symlink or not, because attacker could insert a symlink and then rebuilding the package would remove something else, not the build root. In OpenSUSE we had a safe creation of build root, so it wasn't necessary to clean the build root during the install phase, but it still was necessary to clean it during the clean phase. Security issues I already mentioned, the symlink attack. How was that solved? So now in RPM 4.7, build root is safely created, and the path for build root which is in the spec is ignored. That's why build root stack is not mandatory anymore in the spec file, and the change is that you don't need to remove it on install. And even the clean phase could be omitted completely, because now it defaults to removal of the build root. You can still override the clean phase, but if it is not mentioned in the spec file, it will remove the build root. So let's take a look at Python packaging. Fedora defines these macros in every spec file which deals with Python packaging. So basically, they run the Python interpreter and ask, using some Python call, to for sidelib and sidearc. In OpenSUSE, we had, I could say, more primitive way. We asked Python for the version, and then we used this hard-coded class for the modules. This had one disadvantage, because every package used this libdir macro, so it wasn't possible to build noarc Python packages on OpenSUSE. We solved it by adopting Fedora macros in upstream with the exact definitions as we have seen on previous slide. So OpenSUSE is using these macros too, and this brought the benefits of loading noarc Python packages. This has happened in the last OpenSUSE 11.2 release, but as we still support or use the same spec files for older distributions in Bird Service, it will take some time until every spec file is rewritten to the new way. Another problem is make install. RPM upstream defines make install macro like this. It's for the old and now we can say broken packages that didn't have desdir support. OpenSUSE defined this macro in this fashion, so we didn't have to always specify this parameter in spec file. We used only this macro. Mandriva used make install /std macro, not to conflict with this one. And Fedora didn't use any macro. They always specified this full string. This was solved by creating a new macro, make underscore install, which is basically the same definition as we have seen on previous slide. And the new macro was introduced so we can save the make install macro for compatibility with old broken packages that are still part of SUSE Linux Enterprise and Red Hat Enterprise Linux. So that was the problems that we have solved in the past, and now for the more funny part, we have unsolved problems. So desktop files. Fedora and Mandriva handle the desktop file in the same fashion. So they have a package, desktop file utils, which is required during the build. And in install phase, they call desktop file validate binary or desktop file install binary. The first one just checks the installed file. The second one installs it and then validates. In OpenSUSE, we have different package names, so we build require update desktop files. And in install phase, we use this SUSE update desktop file macro, which is some kind of Swiss Army knife, which is able to create desktop file, install desktop file, validate file, and lots of more. Personally, I don't like it because it's not very easy to grasp it, and documentation is not very good. And how can we solve this situation? So the best way would be to try to unify this procedure, and if some macro is still needed, we could try to push it to RPM upstream. Probably we would all also need to rename the OpenSUSE package, so it would need to build require the same package name, or we could also only add provides in our package, so it would get installed when we require desktop file utils package. Another problem is Ruby packaging. It's similar issue that we had with Python. Fedora defines in every spec file these three macros and maybe some extra. They run the Ruby interpreter and also ask for some internal stuff. We in OpenSUSE we use the similar approach than we used in Python. So we statically define Ruby version and Ruby architecture, and then we use this path. When these macros are expanded, and these macros are expanded, they fortunately expand to the same value, but there is one small difference. In OpenSUSE, we use this vendor underscore Ruby, and in Fedora, it gets expanded to site underscore Ruby. Site Ruby versus Fedora Ruby. In OpenSUSE, we have one extra macro, which is called gem install. This macro is used when the package is already gemified. So we don't do nothing, but only in install phase, we call gem install macro on the source gem package. It's very useful, and it makes spec files for Ruby packages very compact, and they only contain effectively only one line. So solution, we could try to create common macros in upstream and use them consistently in distributions. The solutions are nearly the same, but they require a lot of discussions whether the solution is good enough for Fedora, Mandriva, and OpenSUSE. These distributions have a different mindset, different goals, and different requirements. So it's not sometimes it's not easy to find one common solution. Another thing is parallel build. Fedora uses SMP underscore mflex macro, which is usually minus j number of processors. So when we build a package, it utilizes all cores we have on the computer. On OpenSUSE, we use this line. So if the jobs macro is defined, we append minus j jobs to the make. Mandriva uses only make macro, which already includes this SMP flag needed for the parallel build. So possible solutions, there are actually two. We can unify notation. For example, this SMP mflex Fedora way also works in OpenSUSE already, but this is unusable, for example, in parallel automake, because as far as I know, automake doesn't use minus j something, but minus l something. So in OpenSUSE, we can use automake. If jobs are defined, then use minus l jobs, but as SMP mflex already includes minus j, it would require some hackery to remove this minus j and replace it with minus l. And the other way, we could add the definition to RPM upstream. So person make will do a parallel build, and person make single will do a single build. Single build is still needed for some packages that are not properly prepared in upstream for the parallel builds. Or we can do the other way. So we would have person make for single build and person make underscore parallel for parallel build. But as the parallel build is the most common, I would suggest this solution. Another one big problem is init scripts. In Fedora, LSB headers are not required, but if they are present in the init file, they are honored. In Mandriva, they just encourage using it. Sorry? All right, so then Mandriva has to fix their wiki. And OpenSUSE, we require LSB headers, otherwise the package won't build. Then we use special functions in these init scripts, and these functions are defined in these three files. As you can see, in Fedora and Mandriva, they use the same location. Unfortunately, in OpenSUSE, it's ATC RC status, so it would be necessary to handle directly in init scripts or just creating the symlinks. So they would point to the same file. What is even worse, that these files define another functions. So even the contents of the file would be needed to somehow unify. And the last point, it's a little bit funny. This location, /etc/rcd/initd, or in OpenSUSE it's /etc without this part, /initd, is defined as a macro in RPM, but unfortunately there is a typo. So in RPM 4.6 and older, there is init rd there, so there is extra r. And in the new RPM, it's the correct way. So I don't know when exactly was this introduced, but I found this as a problem when adopting the packages between distributions. So let's take a look at Fedora spec file that installs service. We require these two packages, checkconfig and initscripts. They are required for post and pre-own parts. And in the post, we call checkconfig, which adds the service. In pre-uninstall phase, this one actually checks whether we are updating the package or uninstalling it completely. And if it's uninstallation, we stop the service and remove the service from the system. And this is run on the update. So we check whether it's an update. And then we conditionally restore the service. As we see, the spec file is rather large because Fedora doesn't use macros. In OpenSUSE, we use macros, so we only call fillup and insert, which basically installs some files and registers the service. If it's a restart, we restore the service using this macro. And on uninstall, we stop and remove the service, and in postun we clean up some internal structures regarding the services. We also need to require some packages, but they are hidden behind these macros. Mandriva uses...
Sorry?
Your microphone.
Well, I think the battery went out. Do you hear me without the microphone?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that was OpenSUSE in Mandriva. It has helpers in this package, RPM helper, and uses just these two macros to install and uninstall the service. So what to do with this? It's as you have seen, this task is pretty complicated. We need to somehow unify these packages which are required.
So
well,
in,
the,
sorry?
The requires in the SUSE and the Grito spec are wrong because they're all pre. And you also have postscripts, so RPM couldn't remove them before running the post. So just use the Fedora ones, because those are correct.
I think you will just remove, if you don't get up much, just by also the hardware script and this will be
Yeah, we can discuss after the talk or in the hallway what the great ideas you have about unifying this mess.
Yeah.
So future development, I will talk something about future development directly in RPM, and we discussed this with Panu Magina. I don't know, maybe guys from Fedora can. Pronounce the surname correctly. He's the RPM maintainer from Red Hat. So it's Panu. Then we discussed with Florian Festi, who is also Red Hat maintainer for RPM, and Michal Schröder, who is RPM maintainer for our SUSE version. We met in Nuremberg in September 2009. And we discussed what are the current problems of RPM implementation and how to overcome them and how to help the packagers to create clean spec files without any hacks we have seen before, and how to make cross-platform or cross-distribution packaging even more easier. So one of the features that are planned are file triggers. This would actually help to get rid of a large number of script writes, for example, ldconfig, gtk update, icon cache, install remove info file. These are already implemented in Manjviva, but it's the name. Panu Matilainen is working on implementation, which will be different from Manjviva one, because he is also reworking another triggers, so he wants to behave consistently logical, and he also wants to avoid any side effects during the transaction. And I can show you how file triggers work in Manjviva. So they have created a special path called /var/late/rpm/file/triggers. And every package is allowed to install some files there. For example, I think it's package GCC that installs ldconfig filter. This filter contains a regular expression which specifies the files on which this trigger should be run. And the same name, but except the extension filter is the exception script, is a script that is run. So when this trigger is installed and another package installs a file which is matched to this regular expression, this script is run. So we then don't have to specify in every spec file that installs shared libraries, percentage post, run ldconfig. The similar is for gtk icon cache high color. That's installed in the package that provides this binary, gtk update icon cache, and that specifies that every time when a file is installed in user share icons high color, run this update icon cache. On the previous slide, I mentioned
install remove info file, so that's similar to something like this. So every time a file is installed in user share info, I think, then run some tools that are needed for updating the database, info database. Another change is update scriptlets. We decided to introduce a pair of new scriptlets. These are called pre-up and post-up. And these are called on package update.
The existing ones, like pre and post and pre and post, will not be run. And this allows us to fix broken uninstalled scriptlets.
Because when we have a package in the system
that has broken uninstalled scriptlet, there is absolutely no way how to fix it, because it will be run anyway. While introducing these new scriptlets will solve this situation. Also, as we have seen on previous slide, it would remove the need for weird stuff like this, because we immediately know whether the package is being uninstalled completely or uninstalled just before the version update. Another improvement is scriptlet arguments.
When we are in the scriptlet, there is absolutely no way how to detect, for example, the version of the package which is being updated. We could call RPM in the scriptlet, but this would cause a deadlock, because we are already in a running transaction and the database is locked. So another RPM
would fail.
And there were several ways how to do it. We could fetch or push some info through standard input into post scriptlet or any scriptlet. But that wouldn't be very good, because we would have to parse the input. So we decided to use environment variables to it. So we would have, for example, variable Nivra, which includes name, epoch, version release, and architecture. We could have, for example, only Nivra without the name and so on. So we can read these variables. And what's this good for? We can detect more precisely what is happening, and we can handle special situation. For example, when we are installing Apache 2.x package, we can check whether the old package was 1.x or 2.x. And when it was 2.x, we do nothing. And when the older version was 1.x, we would call some scripts, then we'll convert the 1.x configuration to the new one. Another thing is tilde inversion. You might recognize this from Debian. We decided to use special character tilde to represent a negative version token. And this would get rid of complicated rules which abuse the version and the release tags. And there is one example. For example, we have Python 2.6 alpha 1, beta 2, and RC3 packages. And now we had to abuse the scheme. So the Python 2.6 alpha 1 had this version, which is just made up. It never has been released. So we, in OpenSUSE, use 80 for alpha versions, 90 for beta versions, and for RC we use 99.
Have you seen how Fedora does this?
I suspect you use Epoch.
No, Epoch is not.
Yeah.
We just use 2.6 starting from 1, but we start with a release of 0, and then we put in 0. Alpha 1 or whatever, and if we get an alpha 2, we just call it 1. So we start with 0.1 point alpha 1, and then it becomes 0.2 point alpha 2, 0.3 point whatever.
And what's the version of the final version then?
Then the release becomes 1. So for pre-releases, we do a 0 dot something release.
So what's the version for Python 2.6 alpha 1?
For 2.6 alpha 1, the version would be 2.6, but the release field would be 0.1 point alpha 1.
Oh, I
and
see.
For the second alpha, or for an other release of alpha 1, it would be 0.2
I
point alpha 1.
That's
much better than this.
I know, but this is because of the technical constraint. We update or increase release number on every check-in. It's automated.
Well, don't do that.
Unfortunately, I'm not the one from SUSE to decide. We do that.
I mean, this whole tilde thing is just a horrible hack.
Well, I can give you some context for people whom to talk, but
I mean, you're assuming now with the tilting that actually there will be an alpha and a beta. What if they decide to give them goat names? Called the first alpha release Nelson and the second alpha release Betty. Then it's no longer going to work.
Yeah, then
so
we would use tilde 1 Nelson, tilde 2 Betty.
But what he's arguing about is just exactly what you pointed out in the second point. They have these over these times. As I did, adding there is 0 points whatever in these times to look around it. I thought that was what you referred to as abuse of the these times.
Yeah, so obviously there is no way how to do it universally for all kind of upstream. The only question is, which field are we abusing? Whether it's realist field or version field or something else. I can understand your point and it seems valid, but it also might be considered as abuse in some other communities. That's why I said that these distributions represent different mindsets.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Yeah, but,
could you speak louder, please?
Okay, as I interpreted the abuse of the release tags, it was what I pointed out that using that positive and run was a material reasons, but zero point whatever in the release tags. I interpreted that as being what you refer to as the abuse of the release tags, but if not, what do you mean by abuse of the release tags?
Well, we don't use release tags the way the Fedora does, and I suspect that.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering what do you
mean by it? If it's not this exactly. Sorry, could you please come to the front?
You have the
We can discuss this
After the talk. The point is that tilde
is probably getting into RPM and it's up to distributions whether they will use it or not. So, but this would cause another difference between distros. So there's really a room to improvement and for discussion. Well,
another problem. We are auto-generated dependencies. RPM can generate dependencies automatically, but the results are not always okay. And this is handled by workaround it by redefining the macros in spec file. So, for example, this is a line from VirtualBox package, I think, where. Auto-generated dependencies included this symbol, PCI. I think that's a PCI ID of some network card, which is emulated by VirtualBox. So it gets in dependencies. But this card is unfortunately from
some AMD.
So that means that when you have this
AMD physical card, you will get VirtualBox on this installation, even if you don't have
if that installation is not virtualized on physical. So you have to do this ugly hack. You replace the fine supplements macro, which is basically only this part, but then you grab out the value you do not want to appear in the dependencies.
Yeah. So I think that Manjiva already has
some macros which are able to manipulate
these dependencies like provide requires, but these are not in RPM upstream. So we should also discuss how to handle this properly and then how to persuade the RPM upstream to include it so all distributions can benefit from it. And now links. This is RPM org wiki where these problems I mentioned are listed. You can look at them, but there's I think that's already has been covered in the slides. You can edit the wiki, add your ideas. We also meet at the #rpm.org channel on Freenode. We can also discuss there. RPM development list is also a good way how to contribute in discussions. Then there is my blog where every RPM related article is typed with RPM. There are also some notes from the OpenSUSE conference I mentioned before, but not all results were connected to the cross distribution packaging, so they were not mentioned. And the last three links are packaging guidelines for Fedora, OpenSUSE, and Mandriva. Actually, the first two links are very similar because our packaging guidelines were in, well, how to put it, in catastrophical state. So we discussed with Tom Calloway from Red Hat, which is the main author of the packaging guidelines, if we could adopt them. And now we are in the process that we are slowly rewriting the Fedora packaging guidelines to match our way. And in the process, we also know which parts are different. So we immediately see the differences. I think it was started probably a year and a half ago. I also approached Mandriva, but no one from the people I talked to were not interested in this in this process.
Who did you speak to?
Sorry, I don't know.
Oh, because that's totally good for Mandriva perspective.
Yeah.
Especially a perfect example of trying your very slide with JPEG, which is
Yeah, we would love to have Mandriva also on the ship. So if you have enthusiasm in this, I'm glad. And we should really try to engage as most as high number of RPM distributions as possible. So we have 5 minutes left. So if there are any questions, I would like you to come in the front, because I really don't hear you from the outside.
Yes. Has there been any talk about putting a version inside of the spec file to say this spec file is designed for RPM 4.6 and above or 4.7 and above? So that way, if you get an old spec file or you're trying to build a new source RPM on an older distro with an older version of RPM, it'll warn you and say this macro is not available, this uses some sort of feature, and
I see the point. This hasn't been discussed, and I think it's a very good point to discuss. I will put in my notes.
Because it's a problem that a lot of the ISVs that I'll speak to a lot of the times, they're finding these problems for themselves because they're trying to work with all sorts of one-off custom solutions that they put together.
For example, in I don't know if you are familiar with OpenSUSE Broad Service. It's infrastructure which allows to build packages not only for OpenSUSE, but also for Fedora, Mandriva, and other distributions as well. And we have a special macros called SUSE underscore version, which represents the version of SUSE, the same for Fedora and Mandriva. So we can do version branching based on the version, and it's something similar like you mentioned, but it's not the RPM version that is taken into account,
But that sounds like a bit of a hack when you really just want to say use this particular version of RPM.
Yeah, it is hack, but it's the way how you mentioned ISVs
are building packages because we have these dependencies and they have to use this code snippet for Fedora, this for Mandrio, and this for Betsuse. But this thing you mentioned would definitely make sense.
Yeah, these guys are working CentOS too, so when OpenSUSE build service, they've looked at it. It won't work for a lot of these guys too.
Yeah. Yes. Could you please come to the back? Could you please come to the front? Sorry, because I don't understand.
I can speak none.
Yeah, but please do so.
Oh yeah. Have you? I have no insight what's been discussed on the RPM thing. But have you brought up topics like this effort for this time? I submitted a patch from it was supported in RPM file as I submitted it to RPM main list a long time ago, but pretty much no attention. It's a very, very, very nice solution to the including the release tag in the distribution release converse, etc. But
I'm not involved in RPM development itself. I just hang around the IRC channel and I know the people that are involved. Okay, so I don't know what's the current implementation status of the features. And yeah, to make it clear, this is about RPM for development or RPM.org.
Yeah, but
none of these distributions use the new form RPM 5.
So.
Which one? PLD. PLD
is RPM 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
PLD is RPM 5?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think that I tried hard to find all distributions using RPM 4 and they were on slide. So I think that
RPM is using RPM 5 in dynamics. There are more smaller distributions.
Arch Linux is using RPM 4.
Arch Linux is using RPM 5.
No.
Alt Linux is also using RPM 5 in the process. And PCMe Linux OS is kind of on the down, which is a forgotten with GT Linux, which is using RPM 5. Kaxa Magica is probably about to switch to RPM 5 more or less for them.
Okay.
So it's not really a true picture because it's mostly SUSE and Fedora, which is RPM.org. So
and Mandriva, right?
Yeah, it's not challenging because Mandriva is the RPM.org development. There's like three calls a month to the RPM main list, which are always support issues. There's no public discussion taking place, and Mandriva is considering perhaps a moving to RPM 5 maybe. It's not
okay.
Out of question, so
I
think it would be important to either for RPM 4 is to try beyond their well to others, because from Mandriva perspective they will always we see none of what we do or none of what we do is cared for. It seems like RPM.org is very driven by Fedora.
Well, the only people that are
working on RPM and are paid for working on RPM are these three guys from Red Hat. So it's kind of logical that it's driven by Red Hat or Fedora.
But normally the discussions or anything are taking place. But I think one should be try to look at the other, at least try to look at what RPM5 does as well and be more open to adopt the same things.
I wanted to raise awareness about RPM, and I joined the wiki. I got write access to the wiki almost immediately. The people are on the RSC channel. I haven't written to mailing list, that's true, but I don't think it's a problem that the development is closed or something like that. I think the more serious problem is that people are not interested. I think this maybe have another opinion, but I know that the situation during the last year or two is much, much better than it was before.
So
we can continue in the hallway or whatever room we will find. Thank you for attention, and I hope we will see some of you on our channel or the wiki. Thank you.